So hello, everybody, and welcome to one of our bonuses for the Sweet Spot Solution. Hey, Martha. I'm so excited to have you all here. I'm really excited about this. And when we had a discussion as a team as to what kind of bonuses would be really valuable for you in helping you to complete this program. And the thing that came up was this issue of self-sabotage. And I don't think anybody deliberately sets out to self-sabotage themselves. You didn't join this program and go, yes, another program where I can self-sabotage and not finish and not get the results. No, you start everything with the intention, right, of doing your best and finishing it. But there's things that happen, right? And when I identified, I didn't know that people self-identified as self-sabotage. I knew that that was a pattern that was happening, but I thought it was so subconscious that it wasn't even, people weren't even aware of it. So I wasn't even sure of that language. But when I put it out to the Unstoppable group several months ago, and I said, what is the top thing that keeps you from following through and committing to the actions you know are going to help you to get well? And the biggest one, I thought I'd have a big one that would say, well, I don't exactly know what to do. I'm very confused because I'm on listening to all these summits and everybody says different things and what's the right thing for me. I thought that would be the top. And Sydney just shook her head that she relates to that one. And a lot of you do, I'm sure, because it is confusing. Who do you, are you going to trust, me, or are you going to trust this guy over here, or that woman over there? You know, who are you going to trust, right? So you have to go with your gut instincts. But when by far, and I rechecked it yesterday just to see, and by far, self-sabotage was what people said. And the second one was, guess what? Emotional eating. I think they're married. I think those guys go together, right? Right? Because emotional eating is a form of self-sabotage, and the self-sabotage may involve emotional eating. So really by far, by a lot far, was you not following through, or you not knowing what to do and not doing it consistently, was related to this issue of self-sabotage. And like I said, before we actually started, nobody deliberately sets out to self-sabotage. Nobody says, okay, another opportunity for self-sabotage today. I'm so excited. But instead, it's this underlying emotional kind of pattern that's been locked into you, usually in defense and usually to protect you from something along the way. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about how this day is structured. I mean, we could do this all day if we wanted to, but we're not going to do it all day. This hour and a half that we have together is structured, and then we'll just get into it. And I highly recommend that if you don't already have a pen and notebook, or you know, something to write on the computer, a file open, that you do that, because I know Laura always has some stuff that's interactive, and maybe hers is just speaking interactive, but I have some stuff where I'm going to have you write stuff down. I'm going to take you through a process. So here's how the day is going to go, or the session is going to go, is I'm going to introduce you to Laura Fine. And she's going to start us off with those emotional, energetic patterns that get locked into our psyche, those unconscious patterns that get locked into our psyche. And she's going to take you through some strategies and some immediate stuff, not long. And she's also going to share with you that she is going to be doing a longer version of her piece on Saturday. And I just sent out an email about it. You might have already seen it, but we'll give you the direct link and I'll put it in the chat. We already got, I just sent it out a short while ago, and we've already got over 225 people that are registered. So it's striking a chord. I'm really excited about 231. I just updated it. So she'll go more deeply, but she's going to give you a sense and some tools that you can start to use right away to help identify when you're going into self-sabotage and then do something about it. Then I'm going to have Tony St. Clair, and she's one of our certified health coaches, our nutritional endocrinology coaches. And she spoke at our festival, the Protect Your Health Festival, as did Laura. About a month ago, I guess it was already, or maybe a little bit longer, right? And she talked a lot about some of the mindset things and some of the practical things that you can do. And so she's going to do kind of an extension and go deeper with what she taught there. And then I am going to actually provide some strategies to help you put some habits in place, because part of the self-sabotage is we bite off more than we can chew. We think we can do this much. We can really only do this much And then we beat ourselves up over the head and then we abandon ship and forget about it. And so I'm going to give you some practical strategies for putting some habits into place and identifying the little things that we can start with and identifying the need for congratulating yourself and honoring yourself when you do something and you do it well. Because, that's part of the picture, right? I wasn't perfect. I don't deserve to be congratulated. So that's the structure of our day. So I'm going to start with Laura. And I'm going to introduce you to Laura, tell you a little bit about her. I've known Laura for what, 5 or 6 years now. We met as we were both in a group that was going to this masterminding, this business strategy mastermind group. And there was a Facebook page and we both posted that we needed roommates. We'd never met each other before. I'd never heard of her before. She probably never heard of me before. But we connected and I literally met her at the San Jose airport. Her getting off her flight, mine had already come in, and I picked her up curbside. I say, "You, Laura? Yeah, you, Rita Marie? Okay, hey, let's go." Well, that's how we met, right? We roomed together. We became fast friends. And on the spot, I decided that we had our very first practitioner event a month later. And I went, "Oh my God, my practitioners need to know this stuff." And so I invited her to come and speak. Fortunately, she lives in Austin as well. You didn't at that time, did you? You were traveling and you said, I'm going to be in Austin then. Okay, so it worked out really well. And so we had her speak and teach things about communication styles, about some of these things, the blockages that get in the way of all of us. None of us are immune, by the way, including Laura and I. And Laura's a master at helping other people. And she has to work through her own stuff too. We all have to. And these strategies apply to working on yourself. And if you're a practitioner, working on your clients. She's trained as a conventional trained, marriage and family counselor type person. She did the energetic trainings with Barbara Brennan. So she's got this amazing combination and this ability to help people to see people really quickly. I've done some stuff with her, some long, like 7-day trainings with her, and volunteered to be on the seat where she goes through. And I'm suddenly like, I had no idea that was still bothering me. I had no idea that thing that happened when I was 14 years old is still active in my nervous system. And so it's what she has to share is totally amazing. And I'm not going to take up any more of her time. Introduce you to Laura Fine. And unmute yourself.
Okay. There you go. Sarita Marie, it always brings back such fun memories when how we first got together. Okay, so welcome everybody. Thank you for having me, Rita Marie. It's always such an honor to connect with the people that come to you for the truth. And I love the way that you disseminate the truth to them with no holds barred and with such detail and depth that really people's lives can be so powerfully impacted. So such an honor to be here as always. So, you know, what I think, you know, in the brief little time that I have with you for today, what I would love to share with you, just based from my background as an energy healing therapist with over 30 years experience, and also then having gotten a master's degree in marriage and family therapy to get some more traditional training so that I could become more legitimate in the eyes of the world with this weird sort of energy approach that I found so much more effective than psychotherapy. So I sort of became very passionate about marrying those two worlds together and then combining that with trauma work, with moving the energy through this nervous system to heal and recover. And what I have found as a result, or what's evolved as a result, is something called transpersonal energy healing therapy, which Rita Marie has been such an advocate of that she's made it an adjunct sort of offering through the Institute itself. So for those of you who find this resonant with you, there are courses that we are offering through the Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology. But the main, like if I had to say a few just main basic points about self-sabotage, about emotional self-sabotage, and about emotional self-sabotage, especially as it shows up with eating. Eating ties into the very core roots of survival, right? It It's all the way back to our basic survival strategies as babies, as even in the womb, some of these patterns and these neurological programming that we learned subconsciously in utero or before birth or shortly after birth or in our childhood growing up. When we have the inner critic as an adult come and go, yo, what's the matter with me? I know better. I shouldn't have eaten that second piece of cake, or why can't I just have a little sweet? Or I know Rita Marie's giving me all the chemical reasons of why I should do this and should not do that and the impact. And I know better. What's the matter with me? I'm weak. I'm stupid. I'm not disciplined. All that judgment is not what's really going on. So that's the good news, right? The good news is in so many ways, it's not your fault, but it is your legacy. And because it's our legacy, I want us to be empowered and free to be able to change that legacy. Well, if I, obviously what we know consciously is not enough. And the reason is because the impulsivity or the drive or the sensation that we're striving to achieve for ourselves when we do something that is self-sabotaging is subconscious in nature. I know it even for myself. I can feel it when I'm feeling agitated and I need to discharge. My go-tos will be go to the refrigerator. What can be self-soothing in the refrigerator? But I've learned enough and I've done enough work that I have so many other options now to manage and to identify and to work with the feelings, the surges of energy sensation that come up through my body that make me want to react rather than act. And so much of this happens subconsciously. I mean, how many of you yell at your kids because you really want to yell at your kids? How many of you yell at your kids because you lost it and then you feel terrible afterwards? You feel remorseful afterwards, or you yell at your partner and then you feel horribly remorseful, or you do something self-destructive and you feel horribly remorseful afterwards. We all do these things, but we don't have to. What we do want to do, what we can do with not too much effort, is begin to understand the nature of emotional energy. So emotions are not just things that are inconveniences about our moods. Oh, I've always been moody. Oh, it's in my genomes. I'm always going to be a depressed personality. Oh, it's in my epigenetics. I can't do anything about it. Oh, it's because I had these horrible traumas as a kid. I will always be manic depressive. No, those are imprints in our system, subconscious reactivity. Most of us don't even know what we feel, when we feel, how we feel it, why we feel it. All of a sudden you're driving home from work. Well, not these days anyway, but let's say when you were driving home from work and all of a sudden you'd be in road rage. And you go, well, what is wrong with me? Why am I in road rage? Why all the other days, no road rage? But why today, road rage? We're so disconnected from the very emotions that we're feeling. So one of the things I want to just do right now, because I know I don't have a lot of time with you, and I know Rita Marie has a wealth of information to convey and take you through, and then you will get to, as she mentioned, on Saturday, this coming Saturday, I am going to do another 90-minute webinar with Rita Marie, which I'm really excited about and working hard on for weeks on it, because I so love this material. So I'm going to do much more experiential and background explanation about what I'm talking about right now. So if you can, come to that or sign up so you can get the replay and listen to it if you can't make it live. But for now, let me just ask you this, and this is just a little brief exercise we can try, which is just close your eyes for a minute and take a couple of deep breaths and just go inside your body and even put your hands on your body, put your hands across your chest, squeeze your arms for a minute. You live in here. This is your house. Just like you live in a house, you actually live also in this shell, right, in this house that is this body. And this body, as Candace Pert talks about it, she talks about molecules of emotion. Emotion has cellular memory that lives in this body. So when you feel compelled to, say, overeat, or you feel irritated, like you want to explode at somebody that you love, or you feel out of control, or like you're in a deep, you know, depression or something, just let your hands go to where that lives in your body right now. Just where do you hold that tension, that irritation, that emptiness, that stress, that maybe it's your neck, maybe it's your gut, maybe it's your heart, maybe it's your back, maybe it's your head. Put your hands, don't worry if you're right or wrong, just let your hands go to whatever you feel in your body is the place that you hold a lot of stress or tension or emotional feeling. Now take a couple of deep breaths. And I want you just to imagine if you could reach in to that energy that's in there, and if it had shape or form or sensation or color or texture, what would it look like? What would it be like? And imagine that your hands are kind of scooping it out of your body, and keeping your eyes closed, just hold that energy in front of you, in your palms. It's sacred energy. Now remember, energy can't get created or destroyed. It's the law of physics. It can only get transmuted. Water can turn into ice. You know, ice can melt into water. Water can evaporate into moisture, into clouds, but it cannot disappear. It cannot not exist. So this energy in your hands in front of you, how do you want to transmute it? What would you like it to be if it could feel different? And just with your breath, take a couple deep breaths, inhale it and transmute it with your breath, just with your imagination. Just feel like you're making it up. Just imagine it and bring it back into your body where you want it to live now. Maybe in the same place, maybe somewhere different. Bring it back into your body. And when you feel ready, you can slowly open your eyes. Now that was just a little too something there. I don't know if you want to put any responses to that in the chat. You're certainly welcome to. I don't know if we have time for any questions or comments, Rita Marie. You can let me know if that's the case. If not, we can stop maybe right here.
So I would, from my perspective, this was great. And so if somebody finds themselves, you know, about to dive into that chocolate cake that they're friend left in the refrigerator and they don't want to, or do something else, like to, you know, go watch a movie instead of exercise, or whatever it might be that is, you know, some sort of self-sabotage, how could they take what you just taught us and use that in the moment?
Yeah, so let me first start by saying there is no authentic, in my experience, quick fix for this. This is not going to be a magic pill like, okay, do that exercise and you're done. You've gotten to the root. When we start to track energy, this is the beginnings of even being in touch with the fact that I'm holding a stress or a tension or an irritation or a sensation in my body. Most of our reactivity, 95% of it is subconscious in nature, not conscious. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we have to do, along with so many of the other golden nuggets that you provide them, is take what I call body breaks. And if we have time, I'll do like a 1 minute charge discharge before we complete, so we can complete with that today. And it's there are two kinds of 1 minute transitional one is a transitional meditation, one is a transitional charge discharge, especially for those of us who do a lot of time sitting in front of a computer all day. So this helps us even begin to learn, where am I holding those stuffed feelings, those subconscious energy feelings? Now, the good news is, because it's not a quick fix, once you do begin to apply this, as you begin to apply it, it actually really does work. And the patterns do get to ultimately break. I've had so many clients who've come to me and said, I've spent so many years in therapy, I've never gotten through to the root cause of anything like what we did when we started to bring in the energy system, mm-hmm. which is a missing ingredient for so many of us.
Awesome. Thank you. We got a lot of good comments, like wonderful exercise, delicious. Let's see. I would love to work on the energy more. Let's see. Peaceful. Wow. And then Janina said, I felt I had a big uneven blob, like two pains in my hands and my stomach, tummy, and a hot small ball in my back where I often have pain. Fell on the stairs on my back many years ago. So I
love that comment. That is so, see, that is really significant right there. So energy has form, it has shape, it has substance, it has frequency. Emotional energy has all those things. Form, substance, frequency, shape, and sound. And we just think emotions are just these things that, you know, are just sort of wired into our nature. But they have these components to them. And that's what I call the energy of the language of energy, a big uneven blob, you know, and it has color and it has texture. And there was a memory that immediately came up mm-hmm. from, you know, when, you know, many years ago when this started. And when that gets to get processed, guess what? That pain in 90% of the cases goes away mm-hmm. completely. I mean, I've worked with adults, I call them kids, who have had migraines for decades. And once we got to the core root cause of the energy, no more migraines, mm-hmm. you know. So now that's not to say, so what I love about you, Rita Marie, and what I love about the work that you bring is that you provide so many of the missing pieces. Okay, is it hormones? Is it biochemistry? Is it, you know, what is it? And out of the plethora on the platter that she provides, then we're going to be left with, okay, maybe it's the energy, if it's not those other things. So,
they interface with each other.
Yes,
and,
they do.
You know, this emotional stuff can shift the biochemistry, can shift the hormones, and can change your blood sugar. Most of us have experienced that, right? You get really upset and like, what the heck happened? I didn't eat anything. I call it the candy bar eating effect of stress, right? It's like, oh my God, it's like I just ate a candy bar, but all I did was get mad at my kid or my spouse or whatever. So anyway, so that's beautiful, Laura. I love it. I think Prem says, I liked this, lovely. Yeah, I would imagine changing the hot ball and blob into golden, beautiful mist. That's beautiful, Janina. Yeah. Is this related to Traeger therapy? Not that I know of. I think they're very different.
You know, it's interesting. Traeger, I've utilized some, you know, whoever's old enough to know Traeger therapy like I am, I've utilized some of the Traeger stuff incorporated that into some of the movement, energy movement work that I do with, with my in my healing world and in the work that we do and teach here. So yeah, Traeger's great.
Well, join us on Saturday because Laura will be able to do a deep dive in this. We have 90 minutes. It's drritamarie.com/sabotage. I just put the link in there. I sent out an email. We've already got like over 250 people signed up just after sending out the email a little while ago. So it's obviously an important topic, and I think it's a critical topic in healthcare. So thank you so much, Laura. I so appreciate it.
Thank you, Rita Marie. I'd love to hang out just a little bit longer to kind of hear what you're talking about. So
please stay. Okay, so our next guest you know well is Toni St. Clair. And you guys met her on, those of you who came to the health festival we did back in March, the Protect Your Health. And she's going to talk about, you know, some specific ways that your mindset plays into this. And also, I want to tell you a little bit about her. I met Toni probably similar amount of time, maybe a little bit after I first met Laura, because she came to our very first practitioner event, Shine, back in 2014. So it's 6 years ago. She joined our practitioner training program. She's now certified in the practitioner training and in insulin resistance and all that. And she's got her own amazing practice where she incorporates her background, which is really like organizational type stuff, because she was an accountant before she became a health coach, and the knowledge that she has of health and hormones into an amazing system and helps to transform a lot of lives. So she's going to talk to us today about how this self-sabotage thing gets in the way and some strategies you can use to identify it.
Thank you so very much, Dr. B. Marie. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed using the systems that you have put together, particularly for blood sugar, to help my clients change their lives. You know, tools aren't enough, so I put an extra oomph on top of it to make those tools really more effective for my clients. And what I've learned in my history as a coach, because I've been a coach, I figure, all my life, first born, and I've also in my former career as a manager and a director, I've had to coach to get the best out of people, or to help them get the best out of them, and to help them get out of their own way. And that's what I want to talk to you all about today. I agree with Laura Fine that where you are now with mindset is not your fault, but it is your responsibility to tell a different story. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about storytelling. Okay, I get everybody's attention. I want to be a ghostwriter in your life and telling a different story. Your mindset is basically your beliefs. That's all it is. And your beliefs are based on your false self or your true self. The false self usually is steeped in not what you necessarily believe, but what other people have told you, other people's opinions, cultural conditioning, or inaccurate conclusions you reached as a kid. What that can look like when you're trying to balance your hormones is you may not take on a goal that is meaningful to you. That's step one. You have to have a meaningful, heart-focused goal. But if your goal is steeped in your false self, other people's opinions, cultural conditioning, and inaccurate conclusions, you will not reach that goal because it's not personal enough. So you have to have a personal goal. A personal goal to me is one that is something, again, that it matters most to you. That it matters to yourself, or it matters to a community at large that you're connected to. Or it matters to you in pursuing your passionate purpose. And I've helped people get through this first hump right here, because this is the first step of self-sabotage if you don't have a heart-focused goal. So how many of you out there raising your hand or have determined that your goal is maybe to release some weight? A lot of you, right? Let's talk about that. That's everybody's goal, most people's goals. The problem with that in setting these heart-focused goals is if it's cultural conditioning, it's going to be based on maybe I need to lose weight to be successful. So I've had clients tell me, I want that promotion, but I need to look a certain way. That's cultural conditioning. That's not your goal, right? It's not. It's just not. So the only way you can pursue your dreams, the story you're telling yourself, is the only way you can pursue your dreams is to look a certain way. So if that's not your real goal, it's not to lose weight, it's something else, we have to figure out what matters to you, and that matters to cultural conditioning. Other people's opinion. Maybe you need to lose weight for an event, or maybe for a family reunion. I've done that, right? Oh, no, I've got to look good because I'm a coach, and I have to look a certain way. That says that I'm not enough. It requires external validation. You're not going to stick to that very long. So let's say you do release that weight. That external validation, you get it, and then you're done, and you go right back, you revert right back to that. And the other one is what inaccurate conclusions that you reached as a child. So an example of that was I had a client tell me that everybody in her family has difficult managing weight, so it runs in my family. So what that is telling, the story you're telling, is I was born to fail. Gotta tell a different story. So that's why I say the heart of your goals is where self-sabotage starts. You've got to start there. Go back. Ask yourself, are those goals based on cultural conditioning? Are they based on other people's opinions, external validation? Is it based on inaccurate conclusions that I reached as a child? Then I'm going to tell you that you're going to need a little bit of work. with a pro to help you overcome that. Maybe even going back to what matters most to you is going to something I use called the Wheel of Life. Because a lot of people haven't even given themselves the opportunity to say, what do I want in life? Because we're focused on the formula. We live in a left-brain society that says this formula works for everybody. How do I know? Because I was in that formula and I still wasn't happy until I broke free of it and I told a different story. I did that by determining what in this Wheel of Life, these eight things that matter to me most, is where I want to put my energy and how I want to show up in the world. And it didn't look like the world I was living in. So you may need to even go back that far to separate who you are from who the world is telling you you're supposed to be. You have to unbecome who you are now to become who you want to be. All right, so I don't know how much time I have. I can go on and on, so I'm going to go to the next phase. Oh yeah, letting go of excuses. Ah, my favorite area. So this is really the transition phase between what you want and how you want to get there. We all make excuses. Here's the tricky part about making excuses. They can sometimes sound rational, right? Like, oh, I don't have enough time, or, you know, that's hard. But that really isn't the case. I mean, for most people, we make excuses in my mind for three reasons. One, we're not motivated enough. Go back to step one, look at those goals. The other thing is that we use it as self-protection, right? If I make an excuse and I won't be embarrassed if I fail. And the third part is it helps you to shift from something deeply personal when we make excuses to something general, because if it's something deeply personal, oh my goodness, right? It hurts. It hurts. But if you make it general, it's not about you anymore. You detach from that personal goal. That's not going to make you successful. It'll make you not hurt, but it won't make you successful. Feel the pain, walk through it, and be on the other side of it. So some common reasons that we make excuses, and I've heard Dr. Marie talk to her students. Fear of failure, fear of success, fear of embarrassment, ridicule, uncertainty, just fear in general. Limiting beliefs. That's the story that you're telling yourself, right? That's a lack of belief in your ability to follow through or complete. Uncertainty. Maybe you have a lack of clarity about the outcome. If you're in sweet spot solution, the outcome is clear. You will achieve it. Got to tell a different story. The lack of readiness. So you may lack information or time or energy. Information's there. Time or energy is an excuse. It's not really your goal. See how we go back to self-sabotage starting at the very beginning? You take on a goal that doesn't feel right. It's not personal enough. And you want to avoid discomfort. You know, making change is not easy and it's not always comfortable, but it's necessary. So maybe complications. So for my overachievers out there, you know who you are, you take something ridiculously simple and make it super complicated because society says it's gotta be hard to be effective. No. And then inertia, you know, it's just way easy to do nothing, right? Because then if you take a risk and you make an effort to change, then you got to own it. Okay, so that's two. So we talked about self-sabotage starts with where? It starts with the goals, not having them personal enough. Step two, letting go of those excuses. And the third step that I work with my clients on, and we're kind of fast-forwarding through this, there's a whole lot of steps in between, is you got to nail those goals. Nail those goals. Don't change your goals, especially if they're heart-focused. You change your action steps around it. Again, my high-functioning overachievers out there, they have an all-or-nothing attitude. That means if I can't do it all, then I'm not going to do anything at all. In between all and nothing, there's a whole sea of possibilities. Start with something ridiculously simple. Why? Because success breeds success. Also, it retrains the brain to go from to the right brain. Right? So those are the three areas that I help my clients. So something ridiculously simple, and I know it sounds like, oh, is that all it takes? Dr. Lee is going to say this, when overachievers, I keep them in that box of foundation. I want you to drink water. Set a goal of water. Prepare one healthy meal six times a week. If you can only do it one time a week, that's okay. But that breeds success. And that helps you feel your way through the process, not push your way through the process, right? And the third one is maybe I tell my clients, and they laugh at me, but then they applaud me afterwards, just spend 2 minutes a day deep breathing. deep breathing. Most of us breathe from like the upper third of our lungs, not the full breath and depth. The clarity people get just from stopping and breathing, the oxygen rush they get. And they move from the left brain, which is the dumb executor, to the right brain, which is where all we desire lives. We just got to get the left brain to take a back seat. So those are the three areas where I help my clients change their mindset, tell a different story. I like to be the ghostwriters in their lives. Anybody have any questions about any of those areas? Well, who's struggling? Let's do a poll. Are you struggling most with telling a story that's personal or establishing a goal that's personal, letting go of excuses, or just not being able to nail those goals? If it's the story, the goal, not being able to create a goal that's meaningful, raise your hand. Okay. I can't see everybody, but if it's more than two, that's too many. Okay. anybody struggling with letting go of excuses? I'm too tired. It's too hard. Yeah. And it seems legit, right? It's like, of course you're too tired because, you know, you've wired your brain to say, I'm going to fail at this. Okay. And how many of you are having problems with nailing that goal? You establish this firm connection to your goal. You let go of excuses, but you just can't nail it, right? Because you're an overachiever. Everything has to be hard to be effective. All right. Wow. Nail that goal. Thank you guys for being very honest. And how many people are just struggling with all three? And it's so cool. Oh, I love the honesty.
Yeah.
Great. So I would love to support you in any of those stages. And because I love Dr. Rita Marie so much, and I love the people that she works with, but I have a very limited practice, the first 10 people who will go to my website, and I'll leave the link there, that want a consultation where we talk about where your mindset is stuck in those three areas, I am happy to walk you through it. So Dr. Rita Marie, is it okay if I put the link in there?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Thank you. You mean they don't have to pay for it? They just
Only the first 10 minutes, 10. First yeah. 10 people, and it's only a 15-minute consultation, but you'll get a lot out of it.
Oh, yeah, you'll get a lot out of working with you. Thank you. That's very generous.
Of course. Anybody have any questions for me? I realize that I don't have an awful lot of time.
No, let me see if there's any that are popping out at me. I know that Leah posted something just a bit ago. What will happen if I do? I guess these are questions you're asking yourself, Leah. What will happen if I do? What will happen if I don't? What won't happen if I do? And what won't happen if I don't? I love
there
that.
There you go. Those are the questions to break down the letting go of excuse phase. That is perfect. That's how you rewire and reframe. That is perfect.
Yeah, I love that. And I use that kind of thing to make decisions when I'm not sure. I think about what if I don't make this decision, where am I going to be in 6 months, a year? What's going to happen? And if I do make this decision, and what if I don't make the decision? What possibility can happen of what won't happen that would have served me or someone else?
Absolutely. The only thing I would add to that is that other layer of, is it cultural conditioning that brought me here? Is it other people's opinions that brought me here? Or is it bad information I received as a kid? Because that'll help you break it down a little more too, a little faster, I think. But yeah.
Yeah. What time zone are the time slots shown in? Though that would be Eastern, because Shoni's on the Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah. Yes. And yeah. Awesome. Again, if the first 10 people jump in there fast, because my time slots get filled up really fast, especially now with everybody
returning back to their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Any other questions for me related to those three areas?
Issues.
Oh my gosh. People are like, yeah, you guys are on it. People already started.
Guys are on it. That's great.
So I will say this too, just so you know, Dr. Rima, I probably haven't mentioned it to you. Each of these areas can be a workshop in and of itself. But what I've seen in my own practice in helping people with business, life, health, is that letting go of excuses seems to be the hard area. And so I will be doing a workshop fairly soon, probably next month or so. And I will let you all know and pass the information on to Dr. Rita Marie, and she can pass it on to you if you want to attend that. And that's where you really get practice at, as Dr. Laura says, not turning that light switch on and off, but actually seeing a process, because it's not like flipping a switch.
No.
It is in your mind like, oh, aha. But, you know, it's a slow process for some people. Some people can go to the deep end of the water, or they start the shallow end. You get wet either way. but one will lead you to success. So let's just start the shallow end and make our way to the deep end and be good with that.
This is perfect. Thank you. Thank you. It's a perfect segue into what I wanted to talk to you about too. So thank you, Tony. Thank you, Laura. These things are so integral. Like we're, a lot of us are doers, right? Tony talks about the left brain and we want to do. What can I do? What can I do? And sometimes we just have to be, and we have to learn how to just be. So I'm excited to have those talks. And if there's any questions that come up, please post the questions here. And if I don't know the answers to them, we'll make sure that we get them from Laura and from Tony. So you heard about the emotional pieces. You heard about some of the ways that this self-sabotage just pops up subconsciously. You don't even aware of it. You heard about some of the practical strategies, some of the mindset things that affect that, the beliefs, the cultural conditioning. You know, beliefs, here's the thing about beliefs. Beliefs, when we were kids, what did we play a lot? Make believe, right? Make believe. So we believed that we were the king or the queen at the top of the mountain, and we had a little magic wand. We believed it as kids. We really believed it. We also believed the things, the limiting beliefs that people told us. We believed that we weren't smart enough because we weren't able to write our ABCs by the time we were five. We believed that we weren't smart enough because we couldn't sit still in a classroom with a boring teacher droning information at us without actually helping us to integrate it into our bodies. We believed that we were never going to be thin because our whole family is overweight. We believed that we could never be healthy because. But we believed it. We're very impressionable. And the things you hear before the age of seven, they get rooted in your subconscious so very deeply that you don't even realize they're not yours. You don't even realize that those voices that are saying it, it's not you. And it's not God. It's somebody, well-meaning adult probably, that just didn't know how impressionable it was. A well-meaning parent or grandparent or teacher that wanted you to behave and to do things in their way and told you things to manipulate you into believing, well, yeah, if you don't do that, you're a bad person. And then you're like, okay, your whole life you're believing you're a bad person because you do these things that you were told were bad. So with beliefs, we have, Tony talked about goals. I like to talk to them about like an outcome that you're looking for or aspiration that you have, right? So we can call them goals, we can call them aspirations, we can call them an outcome that you're looking for. But I totally agree with Tony on the fact that if it's not strong enough, if you're not strongly rooted to that outcome, then you're gonna fly off and not actually do what you need to do. And that's why last week's process included the commitment to action. What is that goal? What is that big why? Because I think for you to be successful in a program like this, which asks you to change some core behaviors, that you have to be rooted in what the outcome is. I am very clear every single day of what I want. I want to feel good and have so much energy that I could be there for myself, for others, and not have to worry about being too tired to show up. I want that energy. I want to feel good all the time to be available for myself for self-care, but available for others. And I'm so committed to that, that the Oreos don't call to me anymore. The ice cream doesn't call to me anymore. And that's what I want to get you to the point of. It's not willpower that has you say no to certain foods and yes to other foods. It's actually your commitment to yourself and who you are. So I want to take you through an exercise, and I took some notes that I wanted to make sure the commitment. I want to take you through an exercise to break some of this down, a practical exercise, right? Because what Tony says is said at the end was about the overachiever. Who feels like you're kind of like an overachiever? You have to do everything right. You don't just do the little one. You want to dive right in head first, right? And then when it doesn't work, what do? Do you say, oh, well, I'll try again next time? Or do you go, God damn it, you did it again. You're so stupid. You're so lazy. You're so, who's ever done that? You're so fill in the blank to themselves, right? It's common. It's natural, but it's not healthy. And we want to reprogram that. So I'm going to give you some practical stuff. And this stuff I'm taking from a book called Tiny Habits. And write that down, because I have a couple of links I want to give you, and I'll put them in the chat, where there's some really good resources that will pull some of this together. But the book is amazing. I did it on audiobook, very inexpensive book. I think it was under $10. And it has a resource guide that goes with it that is loaded with practical strategies. There's a lot of behavior books out there. There's a lot of habits books out there, and I've probably read them all. But this one I love because it's so practical, and I have all these little cool worksheets, and I'm going to take you through some of these today to help you make this work and to help you with the practical part. Doesn't make up for not having the beliefs in the right place, but it helps you to actually put some new things in place. How does that sound? Sound good? Yeah? All right. So we're going to do something he calls the swarm of bees, the swarm of behaviors. And this is the worksheet I'm going to be, you know, kind of having you create on a piece of paper. So I want you to do is in the middle, draw a circle. It could be a circle. It could be an oval. It could be some sort of closed, curvy shape in the middle. And in that circle shape, what I want you to write is, it doesn't have to be the perfect goal. It doesn't have to be the ultimate. Just pick one goal, aspiration, outcome that you'd like to achieve. Let's just say in this program. Maybe it's weight loss. Maybe it's mental clarity. Maybe it's more energy. Maybe it's less depression. Maybe it's weight gain. You know, maybe it's just wanting to feel good all the time. So I want you to write that down. Does everybody have that written down? Okay. Now this is going to take a couple of minutes to do, and we're not going to finish it all the way. There's probably a lot of different behaviors that can get you to that goal, right? If it's weight loss, there's a lot of things that can take you to weight loss, right? There's eating less, following the sweet spot, measuring your blood sugar more, overcoming the emotional eating. And there's a lot of behaviors. So what are some behaviors? Just a handful, maybe 3 to 5 behaviors that you think that you need to master in order to get that outcome. And if I had music and I was in a live room, I'd put on some music right now and thinking music. But just write them down, any number you want. So we're gonna pull out the high achiever piece of this, like, oh, she said 5, I can only think of 3. Any number you want of behaviors, even if it's only one, behaviors that can take you to that end result. Could be stuff we're teaching you in the program. Stop eating snacking. Stop eating so close to bedtime. Eat more greens. Exercise every day. Meditate. Whatever those behaviors might be that'll take you to your goal. And then I'm going to ask you, I'm going to just have one or two people share. If you want to share, I just want to hear some of your aspiration, your goal, and then what are the things on the outside, some of the behaviors you think will get you there. Okay. Is that everybody? All right. So, yeah. Okay, Prem, go for it. Let me unmute you.
Okay. My goal is weight loss.
Okay.
Eating less, stop eating chocolate. It's my reduce items not on the list of Dr. Rita Marie, exercise more and meditate.
Okay, great.
That seems like a lot to me, mind you.
There are a lot. Now we're going to break it even. We're going to break it down to tiny, tiny, tiny. So stay with me with this. Who else? Anybody else want to share your aspiration? Go for it, Christy. Oops, let me unmute you.
Let me unmute.
Okay, I gotcha.
Okay, perfect. So my goal is a double. I want to have I want to fit in my khaki shorts and wake up with a 75 blood glucose. So to get there, continue with the no sugar, exercise regularly, eat lots of green veggies, get enough sleep, and daily prayer and meditation.
Love it. Love it. I'm going to tell you something. And okay. I mean, differentiate goals, means goals and ends goals, right? If you, at the end of your life, you could say, I achieved this. Would having your blood sugar be 75 be that? Or is that a means to get to your end?
Well, that's a means to an end, because I know if I was 75, then I'm going to be, I've long longevity in my family. I'll have a long, healthy, vibrant life.
So. Yeah. But it's a means goal. So I think the fit in the khakis is a representation. It's a very good one, because you didn't say lose weight, which is nebulous. You said fit into, you have a particular pair of shorts that you want to fit into, right? And you know when you achieved it.
Yes.
Right? Because you go, oh, it zips up. Yay, I did this. Okay. So we're going to go through how to take some of these actions and break them down into tiny habits. But there's very specific things in order for us to put new habits into place. And most of us miss them because we haven't been taught that. That's not the way life is. Here you go. Learn that alphabet. Have it memorized by Friday. We're going to test you on it. Right? Instead of like, okay, this and this. Like what we, well, with little kids, we probably do break it down more. Okay, today we're going to work on A. Let's make A's. 27 times, we're going to write that A. Okay. But as adults, we don't think that's important anymore. We just go for the biggie, right? We have to do the biggie. So it's very important to have that, to have those goals. And it's very important to know the behaviors. So how do we put these behaviors into place? So what I'm going to do is have you draw, this is a worksheet, but you take your piece of paper and I want you to draw a line down the middle from top to bottom and another across from left to right. And we're going to talk about three pieces, three things that you're going to need to create a new habit. Three things. One, motivation. That's where that goal comes in. That's what Tony was talking about. Is it really something you really want, or just something you think somebody else wants for you? Motivation. But motivation alone doesn't get you there. How many times have you been motivated to lose 20 pounds so that you can wear a specific dress to go to some event? And you just, it kind of wanes across that. And the next thing you know, you're buying a new dress, right? So motivation isn't enough. There has to be ability. How easy or hard is it to do is going to play into how well you're going to actually do that behavior. So M, A, and the third one is P. So it basically is your map to getting to put these behaviors in place. And guess what P is? This is the one that most people forget about. It's a prompt. Something that reminds you to do that new behavior. And we're going to talk about a way to strategize this so I can come up with, by the end of here, I'm going to give you some stuff, and then I'm going to give you homework to do to finish this up, because the prompt piece is really important. But for now, I want you to take those behaviors that you just wrote, and I want you to label the axes of what you just did, right? At the very top is high impact behaviors. High impact behaviors. And at the bottom is low impact behaviors. Low impact behaviors. On the left-hand side is, I can't get myself to do this behavior. And on the right-hand side is, absolutely, yes, I can get myself to do this behavior. And things are going to fall in between, like, oh, this one's going to be hard, it's going to be challenging. Oh, that's pretty easy, as long as. So somewhere along those axes. And what we're going to do is take whatever number of behaviors you came up with and find where they belong. Ideally, if you're doing this, you can do it with a sticky note, you can do it with index cards, or you could just write it in on pencil or pen. You can always start over again and do this again later. But you can take them and put those behaviors on sticky notes. If you have sticky notes handy, do it. If you don't, then you just write it in. You always cross it off. Crossing off's okay. I learned that early on. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. Just cross it off. So you're going to take those behaviors, and what you're going to do is you're going to pick the behavior up and you're going to look at, tell me one of your behaviors again, Christy. Oops.
Myself?
Yeah.
Okay. Exercise regularly 3 times a week.
Okay. So exercise regularly 3 times a week. Okay. So we're going to ask you, is that a high impact behavior or a low impact behavior? Or, you know, where on that impact line does it go? Well,
according to Dr. Rita Marie, for me, it's high, because it really impacts my way that I look at myself. And if I'm doing that, then I'm doing all the other things. So for me, it's kind of a, yeah. canary in the
So is it hard for you to exercise 3 times a week or is it not?
It's not.
It's not. Okay, so where does it go? It goes in the upper right hand side.
Yeah, perfect. Right.
Mm-hmm. And then who else wants to throw out a Prem? You had mentioned a couple. What's one of your behaviors?
Well, as I said, the eating chocolate after a meal.
So avoiding chocolate after a meal. Okay.
Right.
So high impact or low, or somewhere along that line? Where does it fall in the impact?
Somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle. Okay, great. And then how hard or easy is it to do?
Hard.
Hard. Okay. So you're going to put it in the middle, but all the way over to the left-hand
side. Right. Okay. Left-hand side.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Whichever side, I don't care which side you did it. You can reverse it if you want.
Okay.
Whichever side says no, hit hard, and the other side says okay. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
So you're going to do that with all your behaviors, and you're going to come up with a map. You're not going to get to choose. You don't want to choose the one that you think is the high impact, this one's the highest impact, but damn, is that hard? Because you're setting yourself up for what? For failure, right? So you want to take whatever is in that upper, as close to the upper right-hand column, the yes and high impact. And that's the one you're going to work with. You can take 3 to work on it once. For today's practice, we're just going to pick 1. Okay? Okay. So take a couple minutes, lay out your stuff there, and then make sure you have at least one. If you don't have at least one in that upper part, then open your line and let's talk and let's help you find one that falls in that it's easy enough to do, or it's not that hard to do, and it's a high impact behavior. But it's something you're not actually doing right now. Okay, if it's a behavior you already mastered, move on, right? If you already have this habit, move on. I'm not gonna put exercise, I'm not gonna put running on my list. What I will put is push-ups and like body weight exercises that I wanna do more of that I just don't get around to doing it. So what you're gonna pick for this exercise is the one that's the closest to the upper right. The furthest up and the furthest to the right is the behavior you're gonna work on, and write that down. Okay. So we're gonna go back to this MAP, motivation, right? So how motivated are you to do it? How much aptitude do you have? But the last one is the prompt, okay? So if you look at this list, the high impact behaviors, probably gonna be motivated to do them, but maybe it's hard for you. Maybe you don't have the ability or the aptitude. So what we're gonna look for is whichever is the one behavior you chose, write it down, and now we're gonna look at an aside, and then we're gonna merge it back together. All of you have some sort of things you do every day, right? And I'm gonna name a few. When you first wake up in the morning, you open your eyes. Who doesn't open their eyes in the morning at some point? Maybe not first thing when they wake up, but who does not open their eyes, right? Getting your feet out of the bed, that's another one, right? But there may be some other things you do in between. I pick up my phone, I check to see, you know, and I do my meditation before I get out of bed. So what are all the things you do before you get out of bed? And maybe there's none. Maybe you just get up and go to the bathroom and get your day started. Most people end up going into the bathroom first thing, right? Use the toilet and then brush teeth, wash face. I want you to write down all your AM habits. What are all those things? And there's a reason for this, right? Brush my teeth. Why is she making me write down brush my teeth? There's a reason, and I'm going to get to it. Okay, all the things you do in the morning. Before you even, if you go to work, leave for work, if you work at home, if you have kids and you take care of kids, or whatever, before you're actually, you know, part of society, so to speak. What do you do before you're, after you get out of, wake up in the morning? And most people have a lot of habits in the morning, like a lot of rituals. You get up, you go to the bathroom, maybe you drink water, maybe you have water at your side there, right? What is it that you do? And really pick at it, like fine tune it. You go, open my eyes. Of course I open my eyes. Write it down. And I'll show you why we're going to do that. Okay. Maybe you wear glasses and you put on your glasses. right? Maybe you have hearing aids and you put in your hearing aids. Maybe you wear dentures and you put in your dentures. Like all these things you do to get your day, contact lenses. My husband, one of the first things he does, he gets up and he puts his contact lenses in. Right? What is it that you do that you just pretty much always do? And the morning, I find that the morning habits are more like always than a lot of the nighttime habits. Oh, I'm too tired. I'll brush my teeth in the morning. You know, that sort of thing can happen. Okay. Then you're going to move to as the day goes on. So midday, right? What do you do before you eat lunch? If you eat lunch or breakfast, what do you do before that? What do you do after that? What are all the things that you do in the afternoon? Maybe you're at work. So you have just, I sit at my desk and I do X, Y, Z, but maybe at work there's specific things. I always have a meeting with this person, or I always open up my file drawer to pull out my files. Whatever things you do that are your afternoon day habits, write them down. And for those of you already done that, if you haven't, no big deal. There's no timing, and this isn't a test. So the next thing is, what do you do? What do you do, like, if you go to work? What do you do when you first get home from work? What are those habits? What are the things you do when you're leaving the office? Are there particular things? You put something in your briefcase. You take your phone and you put it in your backpack or your pocket. Like all those little tiny things that you just do. When you get home from work, maybe it's as simple as I throw my purse down on a chair. I put my backpack over here. I hang my coat if it's a cool weather. I hang my keys on a hook. These are all the kinds of things that people do. And you may have other things that you do. And then you're preparing for dinner. Are you picking up the phone and calling somebody to deliver food for you? Are you gathering all the family members together and doing dinner together? Are you just opening the refrigerator, figure out what you're going to do? What are all those things around mealtime before? And then we'll move to after. What are all the things you do after dinner? And that would include your bedtime rituals. You brush your teeth, you floss your teeth, take out your contacts, drink water, fill your water and put it on your bedstand. What are all those things you're already doing? And some of these things I'm saying, you might be going, oh, that would be good. Maybe I should do that, right? Don't write those down. You don't have those as habits yet. And if you want those as habits, we're going to teach you how to install it into a system that you already have. Is that making sense? And I would highly recommend that you take this and go back later and spend a little bit more time if you're having trouble coming up with it. And as you go through your day, you'll go, oh yeah, I always do that. Yeah, I'm going to write that down. I always do that. And there's a reason we're writing these things down, because we're going to just take one new behavior that you want to install. But there's going to be more, right? And you're going to need this list to create prompts, which was the P in the MAP, prompts. So if you're trying to install a new habit, exercise, for example, in Christy's case, right? And for Prem, it's breaking a habit that's already there, right? So we're going to talk about the adding a new habit. So she wants to exercise 3 days a week. So one of the things to look at is what can you do the exercise after? Before does not work. If you say, before I do this, I'm going to do that, what's the prompt? There's no prompt, right? So the prompt is something you're already doing that you say, when I finish this, after I flush the toilet, I'm going to go to the wall and I'm going to do 2 push-ups. Okay? That's an exercise. And you're going to go to the bathroom several times a day. And you flush the toilet, unless you're in a drought area and you're only flushing it once a day. But that gives you an opportunity to put in an exercise or a meditation or a breath. associated with something you already do by habit. Is this making sense? Okay. Right. So now that you've looked at this, so Christy, open up your line. You're going to exercise 3 days a week. Where is it that you can, let me unmute you. You're not, you know what? I think I said it to, you can't unmute yourself.
Got it. I'm on.
Okay, good.
Okay, so really I'm already exercising, so I misunderstood you. But what I'm not doing is I don't have a regular wake up and go to bedtime, kind of all over the map. I have routines that I always do when I go to bed, but I may go to bed at 9:30 and I may go to bed at 11. So I think it will help me to have a more regular wake up and go to bed.
Okay. So let's talk about the go to bed.
Yeah.
Okay. So going to bed. So give me a couple of items in your evening routine.
Yeah. The main thing I always go up and put my son to bed, and he's in junior high. So it would be, yeah, I'm savoring it, right?
Please do. I used to do that until, you know, he was in, actually even in high school. And I go lay down with him and rub his back. Savor it.
So I'm pretty much making myself do that every night. And after my husband does his thing with him. So that is usually around between 8:30 and 9.
Okay. And then what do you do after you go up and, you know, get him to bed?
That's pretty much the big challenge for me is I tend to be not, almost the only thing I do routine in my life is I floss, I brush, and I wash my face.
Do you do that right before you go to bed?
Before I go to bed.
Right before. Okay, so what do you do in between?
I may read, I may, you know, scroll social media. I may read the paper that I didn't finish in the afternoon. I mean, I really have a lot of variety.
Let's think about this. So this is a good one to really dig deep and try to figure out, right? So he's going to bed. And by the way, how do you have a junior high kid that's in bed by 8:30 or 9? Holy cow.
Yeah, I'm just going to say I've been the sleep Nazi their whole lives. And wow. So bed, we just do it. Now, I have been way more lax with this thing, but they're tired.
Yeah,
so
they're tired.
I want happy kids, and so I make sure they're in bed.
Good for you. Good for you. Now you have to do the same for yourself. So it's 8:30 or 9.
Right.
And you said you want to get to bed by 9:30. So
I'd really like to do the 5:30 Camp Gladiator. And I can't.
Okay, good. So this is perfect. Yeah. So after is there anything you do? So you do, you brush your teeth and you do all that stuff. Do you fill up water? Is there anything you do?
I always do vitamins before I fill up, before I go in the bathroom, I always take my nighttime vitamins.
Perfect. So after I close my son's door and leave his room, I'm going to go get my vitamins, mm-hmm. get my water, and head to the bathroom. That's it.
That's it, isn't it?
That's it. And then once you're in the bathroom, you do your bedtime routine. And, you know, after you brush your teeth, you probably go to bed. Whether you read in bed or whatever you want to do is fine. But to get yourself in the bed by that time, that's all you need to do is attach it to something you're already doing.
So as soon as I close this door, I'm going to go and do my vitamins right then. And that will put me in the mode of getting to bed.
And getting into bed. Yeah.
Thank you. I was kind of stuck. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Cool, huh? Pretty cool. Who has one that you've been trying to do, whether it be the exercise that you're not doing? So Christy's already doing the exercise. So that you need that. Whatever behavior you're trying to do that's going to get you to that goal, that you're going on and just not making it. I'm not making it all the time. Is there somebody that has one that we can use? Whether it be exercise, whether it be meditation, whether it be deep breathing and gratitude, whether it be drinking enough water, right? That's a biggie. Anybody? Or you guys all have this? Because I want to have another example. Martha, do you have one? Yeah? Okay. Let me unmute you. There you go.
Okay. I'm trying to move our dinner time earlier so that I can go to bed earlier. And
okay, so you said our dinner time. So it sounds like there's some other people involved. So that's always a little...
my husband and myself. And we are retired. We live on 58 acres on it. We do a lot of outdoors work. It's heaven. It's a paradise. But this is the time of year we get outside, and I don't take my watch with me, and I come in, and it's suddenly it's 6 o'clock, and dinner's not ready.
Not ready. Okay. All right. Let's go back. Let's do this one a little bit differently. So 6 o'clock, it's not ready, which means by the time you get it ready, it could be 7 o'clock, 6:30, whatever. And right. Then you don't eat that late. What time ideally do you want to be finished your evening meal?
Let's see. I'd like to be finished by 6:30.
Okay.
So that,
that's good.
3 hours after that is 9:30. 4 hours would be 10:30. So that,
yeah, that's perfect.
That time can be 9:30, 10.
Perfect. All right. So you're retired, so you can control all this. What's some of your afternoon? I want to talk, let's go backwards. What are some of your afternoon things that you do? Some of them may be like random. Oh, it's a nice day. Let's go for a walk.
Well, it could. I haven't managed to sort out all the different things like my daily walk. Sometimes it's in the morning and sometimes it's in the afternoon, but it's like my husband has MS, so after lunch, he goes for a nap.
Okay.
For about an hour and a half. Okay. And then that's the time when I either catch up on computer or I look at the weather. And if the weather is right, I go out to the garden. And
I have an idea here. I'm going to interrupt you there because I have an idea here. That may seem a little odd, but it may work, right? The problem isn't like resistance over eating earlier. It's that you get caught up in other stuff. And by the time you get in, it might be 6 o'clock. You want to be finished by 6:30. If you were to go in at 6 o'clock and your dinner was already made, would that help you?
Well, yes.
Okay. So as soon as right after my husband goes down for his nap, I am going to go to the kitchen and put together whatever I need for dinner so that, you know, you only have a couple of minutes to warm it up if it's a warm thing, or just take it out and plate it. So I'm going to prepare dinner at 1:30 as soon as he goes down for his nap. And then you can do whatever you want. You can look at social media. You can go for your walk. You can do whatever you want after that.
Right.
But if you put that there and then you put it in the fridge, then whatever you do the rest of your afternoon, you can come back and dinner's already made.
Yes. It's an idea that has occurred to me at times.
Okay.
But, you know, it's not a habit.
It's not a habit. So here's what I'm going to have you do. It's a new habit, and it's a big habit, right? You have to take the... Okay, so I'm going to break it down into a tiny habit. So what's a piece, if you're going to make dinner, what's the first thing you do?
Gather the ingredients.
Okay, good. So this is all you're going to do, at least to start, and then you can build on it.
Right.
As soon as my husband goes down for his nap, I'm going to gather together the ingredients for dinner. Yes. Right. That's all you have to do. How long would that take? 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever.
10 minutes. Yeah.
Right. You put them in a bowl, you stick it in the fridge, and now you've done that. Mm-hmm. When you do that, and then you congratulate yourself. So here's the thing. When you put in this new habit, you go, way to go, Martha, or whatever feels like a good congratulations for you.
Right.
Right. And you go, great, I did it. I'm going for a walk. Mm-hmm. And you get in the habit of just doing that piece. Mm-hmm. So it may take a while before you move your dinner time back to where you want it to be, but right. That's okay. You've done this one little tiny habit that every day after you're going to think about it, you're going to put it together, and then you can go do whatever you want. And some days you may go, I'm just going to make the dinner. I'm just going to prepare it and get it all ready.
Right.
Right. But just doing that little piece of it, that tiny habit.
Gets it started.
It gets it started. And it becomes a habit. Make sense?
Yes. Makes perfect sense.
Okay. You see how what we're doing is we're tying it to something that's already done, but it has to be an after. That's why I said the waking up in the morning is a little more difficult, right? Because after I wake up in the morning, if you've already woke up and it's late, you know, right? But getting to bed earlier is going to get you up earlier. So I think for Christy, where she said she wants to get up earlier, I started with going to bed earlier. Because as soon as she goes to bed earlier, she's just going to naturally wake up earlier. It's just one's going to lead to the other. So there's several little things that we could do here. So I'm going to read you some examples that he put together, just because there's so many little things that you can do to create these habits and keep them small. So I'm going to tell you a story about the author of the book. He said he had a hard time flossing his teeth. It's just getting in the habit of flossing his teeth was just not there. So he made the new habit. After I put my toothbrush back into the toothbrush holder, I am going to floss one tooth. One tooth. How long can one tooth take, right? Because his excuses were it takes too long and I don't have much time. One tooth. And he got in that habit and he did that for a couple of weeks and way to go. Yeah, you did it, right? And the mind, the way we work is like when we get that congratulations, we want to do more of it. Right? If your kid comes home from school and they get, you know, a 90 on a paper and you go, whoa, that was so good. They want to do it again. If they come home from school with a 90 on the paper and you go, huh, why didn't you get a 98? Or like, what happened to the other 10 points? They're going to go, they don't care. Like, I did this great job and you didn't even congratulate me. Screw it. Right? I don't want to do it. So we congratulate ourselves for the little things we did instead of you only exercise for 1 minute, by the way. That's really lame. No, you go, yeah, you exercise for 1 minute. For me, I'm trying to get into this habit of every day doing push-ups and planks. And I could do 40, 50 push-ups. And I, over the course of a day, I can do 100. I've done that. I've done them all in one time when I was working on it a couple of years ago. For my 60th birthday, I wanted to do 60 push-ups. And I worked up to it and I did 60 push-ups. And then the next day I did 70 and then the next day I did 100. But that's a big habit, right? I'm like 100 push-ups. I'm not in shape for that anymore. I have to build up to it, but also it takes a lot of time. So I set myself a tiny habit. And the habit is I get to do 2 push-ups and 5 seconds of plank. That's it. That's all I have to do. That's like 10 seconds worth of exercise. I think it makes it easy to do. The only thing I haven't done yet is the prompt. I haven't figured out what the right time is that's going to prompt me to do it. I tried the thing with the toothbrush and after I brushed my teeth, but the bathroom floor is kind of cold, right? To get down there. And I just didn't want to get down there. So I'm still working on finding the thing that I do religiously that will have me in a place where I can actually do it in a place where, you know, there's a mat or whatever. So I'm thinking about that. But you see how I'm successful? I get down there and I did this. I actually did it in my office the other day. I've done it in the bedroom, but I've never done 2 push-ups and 5 seconds of planks. Cause as long as I'm down there, it's like 2 5-seconds, this is nothing. And I just hold it for as long as I can. I go, oops, I gotta go. I got an appointment. So the least I've done has been 30 seconds of plank and 5 push-ups. I'm getting the habit in place. And now once I get the prompt down, it may take a while to get the prompt down, I'm going to have this habit. And I'm not beating myself up over the fact that I'm not doing 50 push-ups a day. I'm saying, whoa, way to go, right? Way to go. So who else has one? A habit you want to put in? Yeah, go ahead, Jacqueline.
Hi.
Hi.
So mine is to stay asleep. How do you work with that? Because like I've been up since 3:30 this morning.
Okay, so you wake up and you're having a hard time getting back to sleep when you wake up?
Yeah.
So that is a little harder because what we got to do is break that down into, it's not really a habit that you're looking for. The habit is really to get, it's your desire, your aspiration is to get a better night's sleep. That's not a behavior. So what we want to do is say, okay, your aspiration is to get a better night's sleep, to stay asleep longer and not wake up early. So what are some of the behaviors that could help you to get a better night's sleep?
Well, I pray.
Okay.
When that happens, I go pee.
Okay.
Because if you have to pee, you can't fall back to sleep.
Can't fall back to sleep. Yeah.
So first thing is pee. My breathing, my deep breathing. So I did all those. And so then I went and got my binder and I started reading all my modules for the week.
So you're using the time effectively. I'm going to read you one because he had one for, here we go. So these are his tiny, this is the guy that the author of the book. So these may not work as well for you, but these are the habits that he used to help himself get a better night's sleep. Okay. So after I hear my alarm in the morning, I will get up without hitting snooze. That's not an issue that's going to work for you, but that would work for somebody who tends to not be able to get to sleep at night and they tend to keep snoozing. Mm-hmm. After I put on my shoes in the morning, he's doing all this stuff throughout his day that he can do. And he said, these are the things I can do throughout my day to make sure that my body's in better position for sleep. Let me see. This is here. I'll start here. After I arrive home from work, I will charge my cell phone in the kitchen, not in the bedroom. After I put dinner in the oven, I will take a magnesium supplement. After I turn on the dishwasher in the evening, I will dim the lights around the house. That helps with more melatonin. After I turn on the first light in the evening, I will put on glasses that block blue light. He said, after I turn on the TV at night, I will take a melatonin supplement.
I do that.
After I see it's past 8 p.m., I will stop using electronics and staring at screens. After I lock the doors at night, I will turn down the thermostat so that it's cooler and you're going to sleep better in the cool.
Yeah.
After I floss my teeth at night, I will turn on my white noise machine. So he has a white noise machine that helps. After I turn on my white noise machine, I will close my curtains so the room is entirely dark. After I close the curtains, I will spray a little lavender scent in my bedroom. After I get into bed and I'm not sleepy, I will open a relaxing book to read in a dimly lit room. Actually, a boring book works really well. Not something you're going to be interested in, right? That always works because like, after I want to get up in the middle of the night, I will lie back down for about 15 seconds. After I keep looking at my clock at night, I will turn the clock around so I can't see it. After I start to worry about a problem at night, I will say, this can wait till tomorrow. So some of these may be helpful for you, some of them not, but it's really a matter of breaking down, like understanding why are you waking up at 3:30 in the morning? Are you waking up at 3:30 in the morning because you're going to sleep at 8:30 at night?
No.
Okay.
No.
Is that, you know, here's the thing that we find with earlier to bed, you don't need as much sleep. In fact, Dr. Lodi, who does cancer, he's an integrative oncologist. He talks about how if you were to go to bed at 9 and get up at 3, it's the equivalent rejuvenation of sleeping from 11 to 5 or midnight to 6 or something, right? It's equivalent with less hours. So sometimes people are waking up early because they're just going to bed too early, right? My husband has that issue. If he goes to bed too early, he's up at 3 in the morning. He's just fine. It's not an issue. He just doesn't want to be up at 3 in the morning. So, because there's nothing to do. So it's taking the habit you're trying to install. And with, you know, with this is a little different because it's sleep and there's a physiologic maybe reason and all that. But if it's a habit, like for me, it's going to bed. Like, so after I eat my dinner, I'm going to set my alarm for 3 hours so that it reminds me that it's time to go to the bathroom and brush my teeth and go to bed. Right, if I want to get to bed earlier. Does that make sense? Talia, do you have one? Oops, I get it.
Yes, I have one. I noticed, especially now when I need to test my blood sugar constantly, while I'm cooking, I'm eating. I'm nibbling, I'm tasting, I'm eating. And this is a bad habit because I know I'm consuming a lot of calories before the meal.
Yeah.
And it's something I would like to.
And you're eating between meals.
Yeah.
So what do you think could keep you from doing that? Have you tried to stop that?
Well, so far I tried to just munch on celery and, you know, lower calories foods, but to stop completely, it's very hard. I need even to taste the food while I'm cooking.
Yeah. I mean, it's different to taste the food while you're cooking.
I know, it's more
munching on dip and celery, you know, to keep you occupied. So what is it that causes you to desire to eat while you're cooking?
Maybe I'm very hungry by the time I'm starting to cook.
Okay. That's a good revelation, right? So, and how long do you go between your lunch and then your dinner?
A few good hours, maybe 4 or 5 hours.
Okay.
But there is a snack in between as well.
Okay, so here's what I think the problem lies is your lunch is not filling enough. Okay, so I would be looking at, and this is a little more than just a habit, but I would be looking at what are you eating for lunch and then adding an extra 200 or 300 calories to it or some extra fat to it. Some people are trying to go really low fat and they're not getting enough fat. Add some avocado to it. Add some coconut to it, add something to it, but it sounds like that meal is not filling enough. Add some chia, like make a chia beverage, a chia porridge, have it with your lunch, make an elixir with it, make a smoothie with it. So it sounds like your problem is you are hungry, because if you're having a snack in between, yeah. So
I'm not sticking things in my mouth, but while I'm cooking in the kitchen, always shoving things in my mouth.
Right. So
around food.
So some of the things might be, after I take a bite of, after I reach for something, let me think. I was going to say, looking for a distraction, right? So, yeah.
Would drinking water be the answer?
Drinking water could be helpful. Yeah, drinking water could certainly be helpful. Maybe you're not getting enough. This is different than creating a new habit. This is breaking an old habit. And he does have a section. I would get the book because he does have a habit, a section in there on breaking existing habits and using some similar approaches to break a habit. So it's really a habit that you have that you want to break rather than a new habit that you want to put in.
Oh, we can look at it like that too. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it's a habit you want to break.
Yeah.
Right. So if the new habit is I want to go from lunch to dinner without food, right?
Right.
The first start is going backwards to lunch. After I open the refrigerator to take out ingredients for lunch, I'll think about how much, or I'll put it all in chronometer. That might be a good thing. You put it in the chronometer app and you see how many calories are there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, well, maybe I need more, right? Are you testing your blood sugar?
Sure, all the time.
Yeah, and the blood sugar is maintaining steady?
No.
No, okay. When you're, okay, here's the thing.
Depends on what I'm eating.
When you reach for a snack, when you're hungry in between lunch and dinner, and you reach for a snack, you need to test your blood sugar before you do that. Because I want to know, are you reaching for a snack in between because your blood sugar is high and your body's not getting the signal that you have enough sugar in your system and it wants more? Or is it because it's low and you've had hypoglycemic?
It's never too low.
It's never too low.
It's never very low. It's always on the, I mean, it's the high that is my problem. It's never going too low.
It's never going
too low. I've never seen it very low, no.
All right. So then you need to find those meals from your trackers that have kept you the most stable, the most steady. And for a while, that's all you eat. You're not going to run out. You're not going to be out of balance nutritionally. Like you have, if it's a big salad with celery and avocado and lettuce and some sprouts and some nuts, seeds, whatever, that's what you focus on. And only that right now. Right. 3 to 5 days at the most. The other thing, and this is outside of habits thing, but I'll throw it in there and anybody wants to know, we're going to talk about ketone testing, not this coming week, but the week after that. But there's a powder, there's a MCT oil, which can help you with ketones that will help to satiate that because it gives your body fuel. It gives you actually ketones that you can do. And then there's a powdered form of ketones and we'll talk about it later. But that can be helpful as well.
Even if you have high cholesterol, because I understand that saturated fat, even in the coconut, it can affect.
Well, different between coconut and the MCT.
It's bad, I'm sorry.
It's a difference between the whole coconut and the MCT, the medium chain. It's not saturated, it's medium chain.
Oh, good. So it doesn't affect cholesterol.
I can't say for sure it wouldn't in you,
uh-huh.
You know, but I've not seen evidence that it does.
Fantastic. Well, thank you.
But that's just a temporary, right? That's a band-aid till we get this thing. The sugars need to get under control. And the more we're going to do some fitness stuff this week, the stress stuff, the sleep, and you know, time to go into all that with you right now, but just keep it up. And I think that's the reason that you're having struggles with that. you're getting hungry in between meals because you're not eating enough at the previous meal.
Yeah, and I guess also planning the meals a little better. I still get into the kitchen and putting whatever, and I mean, using your guidelines, but more in a free way, so it's not so structured.
Well, the other thing you might try is actually following the menu planner for a few days, because you will fill yourself up with that, right? And a beverage and those things in between, you know, with the meal will help to satiate you longer. All right.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. So what you're going to do, and where are we at with time? We're just about at the end of time. But what I want to do is say that you've got a process here. So we had a lot to say about self-sabotage. We talked about those emotional and energetic pieces. And I highly recommend you come to Laura's thing on Saturday, drritamarie.com/sabotage. That'll sign you up and you'll get all the reminders. And that's going to help you to have some strategies there to uncover some of those emotional underpinnings. Tony gave you some practical strategies related to mindset, related to goals. And I just took that to the next level of, this is your goal, right? Whatever that goal is, what are the behaviors that are going to get you there? And which of those behaviors are you currently struggling with not doing? So we found with Christy, she said, oh, exercise. Oh, that was an easy one. I thought, you know, she's already doing it, so no big deal, right? But if exercise is one for you that you're not already doing on a consistent basis, then you take, what can I do and where can I attach my exercise, first of all? Like he talks about in the book, he says, it sounds kind of weird, but I said, after I pee, I'm going to do 2 push-ups. And he's every time he pees, so he got to do, you know, 10, 15, 20 push-ups, whatever, an even number of push-ups across the day, because, you know, we tend to pee. And he goes, oh, it depends on how many push-ups I drank, was with how much I drank, how much water I drank that day, right? So you attach it to something you already do, but you start tiny. He started with 2. He now does 50. But it took time to get there. And stop beating yourself up because you don't do it, because all you need to do is that tiny little bit of it. You only need to do the 2 to be successful and say, yes, you only need to take the food and take it out, gather the ingredients. You're successful. You see? All right. So I will stay like a couple more minutes if anybody has any burning questions. But what I recommend you do is take your chart here. Do it with sticky notes or index cards, or, you know, you can do it on a tabletop and have index cards and move them around. But start with your high impact, easy to do stuff. Don't start down here. You're setting yourself up for failure. And that's what self-sabotage comes from. Oh, I screwed up already. I might as well go eat chocolate cake. You know, I didn't eat my whatever. I'm just going to go do whatever. Make sense? Yes? Yes? Is this helpful? Yeah? All right. So homework is, I want you to pick at least 3 behaviors that you're wanting to get in, put in, not the stopping behaviors as much as the new behaviors, because that's where this is. Get the book, Tiny Habits, and you can go through the later stages. He talks about breaking the bad habits, but it's a little bit beyond, it takes a little bit more explaining than I have time for here. Do your chart, pick 3 good behaviors that you want to get in place, and then you're going to break them down to where are you going to do them in already established. I'm going to do it after I put my son to bed, which we said, Christy, after I close my son's door. And it's the last part of that, right? Not after I get him to bed, but after I close the door to his bedroom or whatever that last action is that finalizes that stage, then I'm going to do this other thing. Makes sense? We good? And post on the Facebook group how that's going. Angelica's going to be on tomorrow because I preempted her, I'm sorry, today in her normal time, but she'll be on tomorrow and she can pick it up and ask you questions. I'll send you some of my worksheets if you want to review them and have them handy if people ask questions. But yeah, I think it's good. I think it's just a matter of, a lot of us are overachievers, and when we don't eat the whole thing, you know, the whole big thing, then we're bad. I'm going to give you one more little visual, and then we'll hang up. If you have, your goal is out here, right? This is your goal. And you started here. And you had a goal that you were going to get there within 3 months. And you get all the way here. Okay. who's going to congratulate themselves for how far they came? And who's going to beat yourself over the head for how far you didn't come? And honestly, who would tend to be like, oh, I didn't make my goal. Look at how far. Who would tend to do that to themselves? Yeah. Okay. I want you to see and acknowledge how far you came. How far you came. Wow, look at that. I made it all the way from there to here. I'm so excited. Congratulations. What do I have to do if I want to keep going? What do I have to do next? Give yourself the benefit. Look at the glass half full, not half empty. And look at yourself as you are capable and you are successful. And think about ways that you could congratulate yourself that would be really helpful, other than eating chocolate, Ms. Prem. Other than eating chocolate, right? Other than rewarding yourself with something you're not supposed to do. Not that you're not supposed to eat chocolate, but not food related. I mean, something that you can do to say, like maybe it's give yourself a big hug, you know? Maybe you jump up and you say, yes, way to go. Maybe you just say, hello, yeah, great job. But something, something. So thank you guys all for being here. Have a wonderful rest of the day and we'll see you on Monday. Bye. I'll open up all your lines so you can say, I can hear your voices. Bye everybody. Bye. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye. My pleasure. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Hi.